It's just one of those happy coincidences that we have these readings today. On this day, we're celebrating a communal anointing of the sick. And readings were just the readings from the week, but we chose this day, and it just turned out that it is. These are readings about people being, well, illness, especially in this case, the illness of leprosy, forcing people outside of the community, and we're all familiar with that. Leprosy is a disease we see a lot of in the Bible, and it was a very serious thing. Of course, nobody knew at those times what caused it. In fact, not really until the 1800s did we even understand what was behind it, and not really until the last century was it able to be treated. And it was contagious, although not as contagious as we thought, or at least as the people thought. It was something about like 5% people you could catch it from someone who had it. Of course, that's a small number, but not knowing if you were one of the 5%, even if you knew that number, and not knowing if you were one of the 5%, maybe you would maybe still respond the same way as the people did. They were forced to stay outside. They were forced to tear their clothes and say unclean, unclean, and stay away from people. And so it was, they were cut off not just from the community of the social community, but the worshiping community as well. They couldn't go, they couldn't worship, they couldn't go to the synagogue, they couldn't go to the temple. And they were cut off in that way from God. That was a very important part of their life. And so it was indeed a serious thing. And it was seen, leprosy especially, disease in general in biblical times was seen as a punishment for sin, for whatever reason. And so there was always that metaphor. We know that's not the case. And Jesus knows that is not the case either. But Jesus uses these examples of healing to show that he can, in fact, heal the sin, which or the disease, which is sin. He doesn't do it here, but in a couple of places where people come to him with various either infirmities or illnesses or things like that, the person comes and asks Jesus for healing, and he says, "Your faith has saved you." And of course, they're probably wondering, how is that? You have saved me from this illness. Yes, but they came with faith in Jesus and were healed of the disease that could really kill you, which is alienation from God. Disease can only kill the body. Sin can kill the person, can kill the spirit, can cut you off from God. And so when they came to Jesus, believing in who he was, they were healed of that disease first, and then Jesus healed their illness to show them that he did indeed have that power. And in the case of the leper, he didn't say that, but he did say the leper did come to him in faith. And Jesus said, if you say the word, or if you wish it to be, I will be healed. And Jesus said, I do. Jesus was moved, it says, with pity or with something anyway. The Greek word is translated various ways. We have moved with pity. He is very, very, very moved. It says like a literally a movement in his insides, you know, is how much he was moved. And so Jesus was moved with him. This man, you know, outside the community and outside everything, he was very moved. And so he said, yes, I do wish that be healed. And the man was healed. And Jesus goes and tells him to present himself to the priest, because it is Leviticus and the biblical regulations in there have a way for the person who has been cured of leprosy to become part of the community again. And that's really what Our sacraments, we have sacraments of reconciliation in our church. And that's really what they're about. They're about healing this disease of sin. We sin, we place ourselves outside the church. And being reconciled with God is exactly that kind of healing that goes on. We have, of course, first the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, where we throughout our lives we sin, we stray, and we recognize that, and we come and we ask for God's forgiveness, and we do it in that way because the sacraments are intended to be expressions of faith. You know, Paul tells us in the Bible that it is faith that heals us. It is Jesus that saves us, but it is our faith that is recognizing who Jesus is and calling upon him for that healing, is what saves us. But we are, you know, creatures that live in this world, and so God gives us these sacraments, these expressions of faith, you know, not just these two, but the sacrament of baptism. It's a physical experience with water and chrism oil and all of that. Especially, of course, the sacrament of this altar, where we receive Jesus himself. Jesus is always present to us, but he offers us himself in this way. In other words, we can, in the sacrament of the Eucharist, we can taste Jesus, you know, and that is a wonderful thing. We receive him, he is here, and we can taste him even with our senses. And so in the sacraments of reconciliation, we can hear the words of absolution. We can hear, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this sacrament of anointing of the sick used to be called extreme unction. And the idea was, well, you would receive it if you were extremely uncted, you know, that which is, unction just means anointing, you know, extreme anointing. You had to be an extreme situation, you know, that's the when people think of, a lot of times people that get, you know, they maybe haven't been around the church for a while or whatever, or they ask for last rites. Well, it's the last rite that it's the one that people think of, because it was available for people who may not be able to express their desire to be right with God in confession, and so you had this, and so your person would be called. The idea was you would receive it that one time. And the idea is you are made right with the church. You are made right with God. You are the individual reception. You lay on hands and anoint. And the laying on of the hands especially is a sign of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you ask the Holy Spirit to come upon this person. And then through the anointing, you ask God to heal them, and the idea is the person has that faith. They're just not able to express it at that time. And I can tell you, and it's happened enough times that I don't think I'm pointing anyone out. It's happened a few times over the years where a person of faith who's in a condition where they're not able to, you know, in a condition of dying, where they're not able to express. To communicate very well. They're aware oftentimes of what's going on to a certain extent. And they're very restless. The person, their family will say they're very restless. They've been very restless about this. And so I've come in and I've told them what's happening. I always do. And I say, I'm going to receive anointing of the sick from the church and you'll be right, you know. And they receive anointing and they said they've calmed down after that. They know somehow that they're right with God now. That they have been healed. We pray for healing of the body, of course. I mean, we always pray for that. But especially we know that we will receive healing of our spirit, that we will be brought into the right relationship with God. And that's what we pray for. And now, of course, we offer it to anyone in danger of dying or in a serious illness, or someone, or we offer it to someone who maybe is going under general anesthesia, because that's always a danger. General anesthesia is like, I always describe it as, and maybe a doctor can correct me on this, but you're getting drugs that would kill you, but they're just giving you enough to knock you out. So there's always that danger, and it's pretty safe now, but there's always, and so that's what we offer it now, to someone who is in danger of dying, who says, "Yes, I am. I am in a serious condition, but I trust that God can heal me. I trust that God can bring me right with Him." And is there magic in this vial of oil? Well, not in that sense that we think of. We do pray for healing of body, but we know that happens according to God's will, and we don't know when that will happen. But what is here is healing of spirit, is healing, the healing of that rift that we create by our sins, the healing of our mind, the healing of our separation from God, if you will. And what we have is more powerful than magic. The oil here is the church, God's church, which is He entrusts us with these sacraments. He entrusts us. He is the body of Christ. We all pray for each other as the body of Christ. And what's here is faith, the faith of the person, the faith of the community, and the faith of the person who says, "I want to be right with God." And that's much more powerful than any magic, because behind that is the Holy Spirit. And so indeed, the sacrament of healing, sacrament of anointing of the sick, is a sacrament of healing. Body, if it's God's will, if that's part of the plan, but more importantly, healing of the spirit and bringing the person into communion with Christ, because then death of the body cannot overcome us, because Jesus Himself has overcome death, and we receive then the living Christ in this sacrament, but especially we receive the living Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And so we offer at this time the sacrament of anointing of the sick for those suffering from serious illness. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, by the power of the Holy Spirit, heal our brothers and sisters, make them well in mind and body. In your loving kindness, forgive their sins and grant them full health. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And those wishing for the sacrament can come forward at this time.